Somebody's sneezing. So sometimes when we look at the gifts, as we talked about, it can appear confusing and weird, and we wonder about the language and what does that mean exactly. Sometimes it's a lot simpler than we think, and it's thank you, Nathan, for your prayer, because it was really dead on. I've spoken a lot of times doing baptisms, even since I've been here. I'll offer a warning for people. You probably heard me do that. My experience with baptism, both having been baptized and baptizing many people over the years, is that oftentimes, after somebody gets baptized, the challenge comes, the test comes, and many times people fail right after that, and we see them walk away from the church or walk away from the Lord, and it's just sadly a common thing, because the enemy uses that point to strike, to test somebody's walk with Jesus. And any time we are tilling soil, so to speak, if you are tilling soil in a new field, you're bound to hit some stones, right? And the thing that I forgot is coming into a new series, especially something that's kind of different and that is challenging us to grow and is going to test me and test you, that the enemy would do the exact same thing to me. That I would be set up for a challenge, that I would get hit a bit. And so, over the past 24 hours or so, I got hit pretty hard, and the enemy found a foothold and got in my head and started speaking a lot of negative words, a lot of, you shouldn't be doing this, and what are you thinking, and you're not worthy, and maybe you should just stop this altogether. Maybe preaching is just not your, I mean, I can't tell you how down suddenly I got by the end of the day yesterday. So I came in today like, okay, Lord, I really need a word. And I spent time praying and I spent time reading his word and just nothing, nothing, nothing. So I showed up today. Well, I've got to get up there and preach. So I'm expecting you're going to show up. And God has this way of choosing to show up in unexpected ways, and in this case, showed up in a way that is going to help me explain again to you what we're doing and why we're doing it, because God is very efficient. We have a very efficient God. So, a gentleman that is a friend via a friend, a fellow pastor who I've never met, rarely ever talked to, haven't physically talked to him, even on the phone or FaceTime or whatever we used to do in over a year. But periodically on Sunday mornings, he'll send me a prayer of some sort. So here's what he wrote me this morning. Good morning, my friend. Praying for you this morning. Felt led by the Holy Spirit to do something different today. Whether you are walking through a mountaintop season or a valley season, the Lord wants to remind you of his promise in Isaiah 54:17, let his words encourage you this morning as you serve his church. You got this. Now go give your church heaven. Have a phenomenal Sunday. So here's what that word says. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. It was exactly what I needed to hear from a guy who knew absolutely nothing about my situation. There's no earthly reason for him to write what he did. There was no earthly reason for him to shift gears and share a word from the Lord like that from the Bible, except for one reason. Spiritual gifts are real. And when we are walking in them and listening to the Lord, this is what it looks like. It doesn't have to be this earth-shattering supernatural thing. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It happens in kind of a normal way. And his walking through this, and he is gifted in this type of area that we're going to call more of the prophetic giftings. And by the way, when I say prophetic, I'm not talking about Old Testament prophetic adding to God's word. I'm talking getting a word from the Lord for an individual and then having the courage to pass it along to that person, which is what Brother Gabe did for me this morning. That's what it looks like, right? That's the simple approach to it. That's what it looks like. God chooses to use us to edify the body. That's one way to know if the gift is really from God and being used of God. Is it being used for the edification of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it building up or tearing down? As I said last week, God doesn't give us the gift of judgmentalism and critical nature. If your gifts are tearing people down, they are not godly gifts. If they're building up his church, strengthening his church, edifying and motivating and encouraging and lifting up your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a good indication who it's from, right? From the Lord. So we're going to walk into this a little bit. The gifts, as far as the values go, and I'm going to start using some of the terminology that we've shifted to. And for years, there was kind of a thought process within, I think, the CNMA as well as other places. I've heard it attributed to Billy Graham and A.B. Simpson, vice versa, or both. But it was kind of the idea of ask not, forbid not. Have you heard that? Some of you are nodding, especially people that have been around the Alliance a little bit. Ask not or seek not, forbid not was kind of the idea of it. But the Alliance realized that one of the reasons we weren't seeing the Holy Spirit moving as much as we want to and need to within churches is because of that very mantra that we had adopted, as have many other denominations around our world and in our country. Because that's just not what the Bible really teaches about this subject, as we're talking about. It's not a seek not, forbid not. We want to actually have expectation without agenda, is the better way to phrase this. So as we walk into this, that's what I want to approach us with. Expectation of the Holy Spirit coming and moving and doing miraculous things, which is why we anointed and prayed for little Axel this morning. There's no reason to take the time to do that if we don't believe it still works. It would be really a mean thing, actually. We should just avoid that at all costs. If I don't have the faith to believe that the God of the universe still does miracles today, the worst thing in the world I can do is to offer hope to a sister in Christ and say, I believe that God, the Father of the universe, through the power of his Son Jesus, and in the name of his Son Jesus, by the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit, can and does and still move in people's life, and I believe that he is both willing and able. And in that conviction, I am praying in faith that that little guy is going to get healed. And we don't need doctor's help. I know the great physician. He doesn't need any help. And that was my prayer for little Axel this morning. But there's no reason to do that if we don't believe in spiritual gifts. If we don't believe that God is still moving and he still does these things, or he's asleep at the wheel, or he doesn't care. And some people think he's either not willing or he's not able. And I would say to you, in all conviction, neither one of those are true. That he is very much able and he's very much willing. Thank you, Jesus. So as we talked about last week, values with regard to the spiritual gifts. Gifts are used in the context of the body and the establishment of the kingdom of God, and we talked about that a little bit last week. Gifts are for use in the context of the body and then the establishment of the kingdom of God. Everything God does is for his glory and for his kingdom building. And if what we're asking him to do, regardless of how deep our conviction and prayer life is, if we're asking him to do something that does not fall under this, then he is under no obligation to do it. It's just the way it is. And sometimes we feel deep in our souls that something we're praying for should happen the way we want it to happen because it just makes sense to us. But if it's not going to bring God glory at that particular time or in that particular way or at all, God is not going to do that. And that's a hard thing for us to fathom, because a lot of our prayers, of course, are deeply rooted in a love for people. And we think this just makes sense. And God should do it this way. But he does it in his time and in his way for his glory. Make sense? Yes? Gifts are given by God and developed by us, and Nathan did a great job of actually praying through that, so I'm not really going to add to that. Gifts are given by God, yet we are stewards. We are responsible for developing and using and asking God to help us to find ways to use them. A lot of times they just lay dormant because we're afraid to walk through them. Okay, now we'll start moving into what you've been waiting for to see how I'm going to handle this next part. So we probably do not have an all-inclusive list of gifts in Scripture necessarily. Sometimes the Holy Spirit chooses to do things that feel like they're operating a little bit outside of what's listed here, and that's entirely possible. But as I said, we know what gifts don't look like, or at least we should. We just might not understand fully how all of them do look. So here's a start, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. And before that, he goes to explain that there's different kinds of gifts, but they all fall under the headship of the same Lord and the same Spirit. And then he goes into this. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, again, telling us the why. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. It's the Holy Spirit's prerogative. He gets to choose. And this is why we get in a lot of danger when we determine that it has to happen a certain way, and why we get nervous around these passages of Scripture, because they're oftentimes misused. Speaking in tongues is not the sole evidence, only evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you may have heard that somewhere along the line. I have heard that many times. I don't happen to have the gift of speaking in tongues. I've never spoken in tongues. And I've been told by people that I'm not really filled with the Holy Spirit because I don't speak in tongues. There's a big problem with that, because my Bible also teaches something else about the Holy Spirit. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm not saved. So essentially what that person just told me is, hey, brother, you may have proper doctrine, and you may have believed you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. However, evidence suggests otherwise, because you're not speaking in tongues. That is erroneous. That is incorrect rendering of Scripture. That is not what the Bible teaches about our salvation. There are evidences of salvation, but they are not just because somebody speaks in tongues. Doesn't mean that I have to or that I'm going to, because once again, as we just read, that is God's prerogative to determine how that works, what that looks like. To each one, is the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Now to each, important word, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then he starts listing them. To each one, it is what it sounds like it is. There are no second-class children in the kingdom of God. Okay? To each one is given something. Just because you don't understand it, just because you haven't recognized it yet, doesn't mean that God hasn't given you a spiritual gift. Okay? Some of us just kind of go through life and maybe we're operating in it and we don't know how to call it. We don't really understand it. Some of us have a latent gift that God has given us, but because we've never developed it or been called to use it, it's just sitting kind of dormant waiting to be called out of us. Because some of the gifts are a little scarier than others when it comes to practicing them and figuring out what does this look like and how do I go about this. And so we just don't do it. Each one is given the manifestation of Spirit, given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit, capital S, meaning Holy Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. Now, we're going to get deeper into these moving forward because these are challenging, to say the least, to describe to you. But I'm just going to start with the rendering in the Greek and go there a little bit for you. And then down the road, we're going to work through them a little more deeper. We're going to drill down in the future, and right now we're going to paint more broader strokes. So wisdom would be sophos in the Greek, and that is skilled, wise. The usage would be wise, learned, educated, skilled, or clever. Those are some of the different ways that that word is used in Scripture and in the Greek. And knowledge is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And that is a knowing, knowledge, usage, knowledge of doctrine, wisdom, the functional or working knowledge. So functional or working knowledge. Learning from firsthand experience. Connecting theory to application or application knowledge. Now some people switch these back and forth depending on which one is which. But those are a basic rendering of it. But again, these go beyond something that you know intuitively. This isn't simply because that you are good at learning things in school, that you have a clever mind for subjects in school, that you have ability to retain a lot and thus always ace your tests. This is a different type of thing that we're talking about because it's a spiritual gift that comes through the Spirit and can be explained a little bit in what I explained to you this morning happened to me with that text. And I don't know, having not talked to Gabe, like how he came to this idea, but I know what's happened to me on occasion, and especially it's happened in when I've been doing counseling with somebody, that I hear them saying one thing, and then I feel like the Spirit of God is downloading something else to me, and rather than track in with exactly what they just said to me and staying over there, I will say a quick prayer in my spirit to the Lord's Spirit and say, Lord, I think you're telling me to go here and I'm going to go over here. Even though they haven't said this, I feel like what you need them to hear is this. And I'll step out in faith and I'll say, brother or sister, here's kind of what I feel God wants you to hear. You have to tell me if it's resonating with you. You have to tell me if your spirit is receiving this, because I'm not saying I'm God and I'm not saying every word out of my mouth is thus saith the Lord. So test it, check it, be a Berean about it, but be honest with me. And praise the Lord, I don't remember a time when somebody has said I was nuts, but most every time I can think of, people received it and said, yeah, that I am kind of feeling that, and how did you know that? And I said, well, I didn't know that. I don't have spies. I'm not checking up on you. I'm not a stalker. God just told me to say this to you. And sometimes I'll have the application of what that means, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just share it and say, this is what God told me to tell you. I don't really have anything else. You have to do with that what you want to do with it. And other times I feel like he gives me more, and I'll say, well, yeah, on top of that, I think here is what the application, here's where we should go with that. And that's part of that overall gifting in those areas of a prophetical gift set. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment, things that where we're getting something from the Spirit that we just don't know, but suddenly we get a thing. Sometimes it's going to be in response to Scripture, as we're reading Scripture, God will give you a special insight, and you'll say, oh, wait a minute, I never saw it quite like this before. That ever happened to you? You've read the thing over and over and over, and it's like, you know, you're reading it again, and maybe you don't have any expectation. Maybe you didn't even do the plowing. You didn't do the work. You didn't even pray, and you're reading God's Word, and you've read this passage 50 times, and you read it, and you go, wait a minute. And you go back, and you read it again, and you're like, oh, wait, I see. And then you follow the chain, and you go to another scripture that's like it, and you start putting some pieces of the puzzle together. And it's kind of fun. It's like a mystery that suddenly you're putting together, and you're like, oh my gosh, I never quite saw it like this before. Why? Because you're brilliant. No. Because the Holy Spirit of God sometimes steps in and gives us that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom, that special discernment. He wants us to see something that we haven't seen before. That's what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes it's just very, very practical where the Lord is stepping in and trying to help us to process through something a little bit better. Knowledge by the same Spirit to another same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. This is not saving faith. I mentioned this last week. We're not talking about saving faith here. Every Christian has to have saving faith. For you to become a part of the family of God and be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to have saving faith. That's where it all starts. Where you make that leap of faith and you say, God, I believe you are who you say you are, even though there's part of my brain that's going, I just can't see how I can believe in an invisible God that's doing all these things that are above and beyond my imagination, but I'm taking a leap of faith that God both created the entire universe, and for whatever reason, he sent his son Jesus, that part of himself, to the earth to live a perfect sinless life and then die on a cruel cross only to be raised again on the third day. Praise you, Jesus. We have to take that leap of faith. Well, that's saving faith. This faith is a inspirational faith. This faith is a type of faith that goes beyond just salvation stuff, that we have faith that God is who he says he is, but then he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And boy, does the church need people with the spiritual gift of faith. Because it's the only way to move forward into new ground, into new territory, to plow new fields. You need people to go, yes, we should be going into that field. Yes, we should be doing those things. We should be stepping out and doing that. Even if we don't have the money, even if we don't have the people, I feel like God is saying for us to do this. And then somebody else speaks up and they say, you know what? I sense that God wants us to do this too. And suddenly that faith being spoken out by a few people with that gift starts to stir the embers in the other people. And suddenly everybody's kind of going, hey, I may not feel the exact same way you do, but I can see this is a God thing. Let's go for it. And praise God, I've been involved in that so many times that God has allowed me the privilege of being in the midst of him moving in ways that were bigger and grander and beyond anything I could have expected or dreamed, and God just is like, kind of like, watch this. And we're like, okay. I didn't see that coming. And God's like, exactly, because I'm God and you're not. God is awesome that way when we step out in faith. By the same Spirit to another, the gifts of healing. We see that more so with the apostles and the disciples, but I don't believe that that gift has disappeared. Typically, when the Spirit does this, I think it seems to be, this is my own rendering of it, I can't prove this conclusively, but it appears that most of the time that this occurs, the Spirit moves in that moment, does a healing, and then almost like steps back. I've not met somebody walking around with the gift of healing where they just have it on demand or on call. And when I hear about people that claim to, and this is not to be snarky about this, but I'm going to shoot from the hip as I've been doing, here's the way that I can't help but see it in my own life. And I'm going to imagine you guys are probably a lot like me in this. If you felt like, how snarky am I going to be with this? I'm thinking through this. How bratty do I want to be with this? If you had the gift of healing and you knew it, That when somebody came to you and they had a headache, suddenly, boom, they're like, my headache's gone. And then somebody else comes up and boom, their broken arm is not broken anymore. Somebody else you pray over and their cancer's gone, and they've proven it the next day. I don't know about you. I'd be heading to the hospital. I'd be heading to the children's hospital first, and then I would move on from there. I'd be spending all my time in hospitals. That's where sick people are. That's where people that need hope. That's where people that need help. I would just be rushing down to the hospital and praying over all the little kids in the cancer wing and just, you know. All right, I'm not going to say what I was going to say about the way that I see it usually work out. I'm not going to be snarky. I'm just going to leave it there. You guys can fill in the rest. You know where I was heading with that, I think. But that's what I would do. To another, miraculous powers. Now, miraculous powers are distinguished from healing because not only did Jesus do things that were supernatural in terms of healing, but he did a lot of other things that were supernatural too, right? He did miracles that weren't related directly to a healing. He walked on water. He turned water into wine. He created a whole bunch of food out of a few loaves of bread and pieces of fish. God still does those things. I have a friend who had that happen. Now, the places that seems to happen always seems to be in extreme places where the people have one option. It's God shows up or we're sunk. If God doesn't show up here, we have no plan B, let alone a C or D. We've got nothing. I have a friend that runs orphanages in Haiti. She's a missionary down there. She has told me stories about things that just blew my doors off, that I've never experienced anything quite like it. But she has no reason to lie to me. She just would share these testimonies. She would get back from Haiti and come and share things with me, and I'm like, holy smokes. If God didn't show up in that moment, you were done for. She had a time when they were, you know, many times in Haiti they have things happen and they don't have gas and they were struggling with, you know, what do we do with no gas? And she had very little gas in the tank and none of the stations had gas, and she had to do this conference on the other side of this mountain, and she was just praying over it and felt God said go. And as they were driving, because of some of the unrest, their car got stopped. And there was somebody, and then if you don't know much about Haiti, it's you better have your faith tank built pretty high up if you're going to step there and do Christian work, because there's a lot of voodoo and witchcraft and people that don't like Christians there. Well, they got stopped, and somebody who was a voodoo doctor knew that there was a Christian here causing problems for his stuff, and he demanded that that person be brought out of the car and given to him, and this was this little old lady, friend of mine. And suddenly, out of the crowd, this 7-foot guy walked up with a giant sword in his hand. And the area just cleared out, and the person who was looking to do damage to Audrey suddenly just stepped back, and he just kind of walked in front of them until the crowd cleared, and then she took off. And later on, she asked about who was that guy, and nobody had ever seen him before. Nobody ever saw him again. She drove over the entire mountain, made it all the way where she was going. The needle on the gas tank never moved once. You can believe it. You cannot believe it. God still does miracles. He doesn't need our help. He needs our obedience. He needs us to walk in faith. So God still can do miracles that are really different, really unique. To another, prophecy, I talked a little bit about what that doesn't look like. I'm not talking about the prophetic gifting in the Old Testament as far as writing the letters of Scripture. There's nothing that can be added to or taken from this book. I'm talking about prophecy in the sense of being able to either take God's word or a word given from you from God and speak that into the life of another person. And that is a very, very important gifting in the church. In fact, when we read further, we'll find that scriptures say that that is the one that we should be seeking more than anything. If we're going to seek anything, he says, I wish there was more prophets among you. I wish there was more people speaking to each other about God's word. to another, distinguishing between spirits. Distinguishing between spirits is the ability to separate good from evil, but also, if we're talking about from a spiritual perspective, especially spiritual warfare, it's that unique gift and ability to sense when there's something devilish going on. And I know that there's people within this church that, praise God, have this gift, that have the discernment and ability to look over a situation, look over a person, but it's usually a situation, object, a house that we've gone into for prayer to anoint a house, and we do that. We'll go to a house, we'll anoint it with oil, and we'll pray over it. And we have some of our elders here have that capacity, where a lot of times they can look at something and say, there's something amiss here. They're distinguishing between spirits. They're sensing there's something that's off there. And then we pray it out of there in the name of Jesus. And we had a miraculous encounter of this sort just over the past couple months, or maybe within the past month. We went to a brother or sister's house, and we saw God show up in a mighty way. And I heard great testimonies out of that, and it doesn't happen every day, but boy, you need people with that ability to walk through that with the power and authority of God that they have, and kind of be fearless and walking in the Spirit. And if you walk into it just kind of like, well, I read about it somewhere, or I've heard about it, and you just kind of are willy-nilly about it, Scripture shows us that's a bad idea. Because people that do that, sometimes bad things happen. We need to know we're walking with the Lord in a situation like that. Speaking in different kinds of tongues and in the interpretation of tongues, the reason these are together is because they collectively go together, at least in this type of setting. So the only way that that can function, and I already spoke about this a little bit, the only way it's supposed to function within a church setting is you have to have A, somebody who is speaking in tongues, and B, you have to have somebody able to interpret that tongue. Now, again, in my experience, why I said that usually my experience has been bad with it, and I don't have really anything to pull from to say here's a great example of how this should work, is because even though I used to go to Pentecostal churches periodically, because I have a lot of friends in that area, most of the time I saw any manifestation of this, it was everybody speaking in tongues all at the same time, and then I was the guy that didn't, so I walked out unedified, totally confused, and wondering, I'm kind of confused here. I'm feeling like I'm the redheaded stepchild of the Christian walk, and I don't speak in tongues, and everybody else does, and yet when I'm reading my Bible, it says there should have been an interpreter, and it should have been helpful to believers and unbelievers alike, and really it just confused anybody. And I see you looking at him. Yeah, I'm not picking on you, Evan Nagy, sorry. You gotta be so careful with the words you use in this quadrant over here with redheaded people. I love you, brother. But that's the way it would have to work. You have to have both operating, and it suffices it to say that if God can give people both the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of interpretation, so he can somehow bring that into a order where I would hope, let's say, for instance, it was going to work that way here. The way I would hope and think that it would work, given our inexperience with it, would be that prior to the service, maybe even prior to the Sunday, somebody who's been spending time with God would come to the elders and to their pastor and go, Pastor Ron, I'm kind of feeling like God is wanting me to speak in tongues in church this week, but I don't know what that looks like because you've said that we need an interpreter. And I say, okay, well then we're going to pray that somebody would get the gift of interpretation and we'll know by Sunday. And then next thing you know, an hour later, I get another call and somebody go, man, I've got this sense that God has given me this gift of interpretation that Sunday something's supposed to happen and I'm on call and I want to be ready to do it. Really, that's kind of how it has to look like. Now, you may think I'm reaching too far and expecting too much. I don't really think so, because we have to have some order to this, and so it's not causing confusion and causing chaos. And for me, that's kind of the way it would have to work out, and I think God can handle it. And the way I read it within the way Paul's addressing it to Corinth and other churches, it feels that way to me, that that's what he's looking for. Let the Spirit do what he's going to do, but have some kind of order to this so everybody gets edified and nobody walks out going, I have no, half the people are going, that was awesome, and the other half are going, I don't know what just happened. that was weird, you know. Hopefully everybody then is edified by it. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. Now, we're going to read in other places, and we're not going to go there this morning, but we're going to read in other places where Paul does instruct us, though, to seek. He does instruct us to desire. He's just saying don't put limitations on God and tell him what you have to get or not get. But as he's instructing different churches, now sometimes you got to keep in mind the context of why he's doing it. Because that particular church is dealing with an issue that doesn't sound so unsimilar to things that we're familiar with in our day and age. I visualize it like he was with a church and some of the people that spoke in tongues were like, yeah, we speak in tongues and we're awesome. I'm paraphrasing. And some of the other people were like, well, we don't speak in tongues, but the people that are speaking in tongues acting like they're all that. And so now we just want to speak in tongues. And so now we're praying to speak in tongues. And Paul comes along and goes, okay, check this out. I speak in tongues. It's no big deal. You know what's a bigger deal? Is that you love Jesus and you follow Jesus. And if you're going to seek for something, I prefer all of you sought after prophecy, because that edifies the entire body. I'd rather you do that than walk around bragging that you speak in tongues. So cut it out. If God gave it to you, praise the Lord. Have an interpreter present so it can edify the church. If not, you're doing it out of line, and you need to stop it because you're annoying. Now, great big paraphrase, by the way, obviously. But I think you get what I'm saying. It's kind of like what I felt like Paul is saying as I take all these different passages in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians and put them together over the past couple weeks. I'm kind of like, yeah, Paul's just kind of going here with it. He's saying it's awesome. We need spiritual gifts. We need to grow and walk in this stuff, but do it the right way. Seek it the right way. Learn about it the right way. And don't look down on one another because you have different gifts. And he does a beautiful job then of coupling it with 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love. And why does he do that? Well, once again, purpose. Because he says, okay, I've given you all this stuff, and I know you're going to get jazzed about it, but let's get back to the foundation. If you can't do these things in love, don't do them at all. Because what's going to happen is you're going to take off over here, and you're going to forget that love is the foundation, and then you're going to act like jerks again, and we don't want that. So I can do all things, and if I have the ability to speak in tongues like angels, do all things, but I have not love, I've got nothing. You can have your gifts and be a clanging gong and an annoying cymbal, or you can have love, and I prefer you start over there, right? I mean, it makes sense, right? Okay, so we're going to pray.